have our four members present, and we have Bryce and Jacob, both here. Youth and Governance. That's our roll call. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting, that would be the one we had at the Pringle Center on July 7th.
Make motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Any additions, corrections, discussion? Not all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and government comments. I was just commenting on the weather. I'm sure we're going to hear it from our different departments this evening that we've had a much better month of July than we had June and late May. So I'm sure we're going to hear that in the reports. Dan is also excused this evening. We have his report here. He was moving today, I believe, and said that his report would be really clear for us and has to be excused. So we'll move on to any other committee members that have any comments this evening. Any other supervisors or the youth and governments? Citizens' comments would be next. Any citizen that wishes to address the committee on any matter would have 5 minutes to speak, and the only thing that we ask you to do is give us your name and address. Any citizens? Yes, sir.
My name is William Anderson. I live at 6101 60th Street, across the street from the new tower. I'm here tonight to bring to your attention a couple things that I feel need to be addressed. First would be the driveway approach to the new tower between the street and the sidewalk. You've done the sidewalk repairs, but you still have huge boulders and crushed stone between the sidewalk and the street. It's a park. And anybody trying to navigate that with a bicycle may end up falling. It's not a very easy approach. In the county, it might be something that is acceptable, but usually in the city, everything's paved. My bigger concern is if you look at the tower that's just out here during the day and the old tower, they both have white strobe lights on them. The new tower doesn't have a white strobe light. Back in January, the red light was out after the tower was up. I called 911. A day later, I noticed it was working. No big deal. Then in February, it was out again. I called. They said it would be Friday before it was fixed. It was out for over a week. Now you move the tower closer to the airport. You put it higher in the air. It's in a new location. And there's no emergency backup warning. I noticed this spring there was a storm and the red light on the old tower went out during the storm. I don't know if this is normal, but the white light came on. I don't know if it's sun-related, light-related, whatever, but you always had a light on the old tower. The new tower, when the red light's out, there's nothing. So I would hope that somebody would address this. I think it's a safety, whether it's required or not, if you've got it on this tower and the old tower, my question is, why isn't it on the new tower? And finally, I was under the impression that this was a public necessity, that there was an emergency. When this was presented to the city, it was, if we don't do something, the tower's going to fall down. The old one. Two and a half years now since this was discussed as it started, and the old tower still standing. I'm wondering, is that old tower really safe? Because there's people living underneath that old tower. There is an apartment building underneath there. And if it is public safety, my concern is not only for 911 callers, but the people who are living underneath the tower. But my own opinion is that was just an excuse. Because I don't really think that you guys would wait 2.5 years to take the tower down if it was going to fall. So I'm a little upset, personally, that public safety was the reason that this tower was put up. Thank you.
Yeah, we have the Mr. Martinelli is here this evening, so we'll talk about those lights. The one thing I don't usually respond during citizens' comments, but the one thing that I can assure you is that the studies that we had done showed in a quarter-inch ice event with the proper winds, we were going to lose communication. It was public safety, not for the tower falling on anybody, public safety for communications that run all the 911 in Kenosha County for that area. So no, there was no need for this county board to spend $600,000. It wasn't frivolous. It was definitely public safety. And the city, the reason it took 2.5 years, totally dropped the ball, didn't do their work, and that is what happened. So it could have looked as an illusion that nothing was going on, and it's true, nothing was going on. And it's totally the city's, and I can go through minutes of numerous meetings to prove that to you. We will ask Mr. Martinelli tonight about the lights. And thank you very much for being here. Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We have Dan's report. If anyone would like to, anybody have any questions on his report? If you all have it, if you've read it. Or does everybody have it? Okay. So we will then go on to facilities. Frank, first thing, I guess you weren't here for the citizens' comments, but there was a question from Mr. Anderson on the lights on the tower not working consistently, and also on the approach, the landscaping, rock and gravel and things. So you could maybe tell us what's going on with the completion of those things.
Yeah, just to kind of bring everybody up to date on where the tower is, on July 14th and 15th, which we had scheduled, we were able to move all the radios from the old 60th Street Tower to the new 60th Street Tower. A couple technical glitches, but everybody was on board, IT, all the technical people, the fire department, we were able to get them all up and running. So those are all being operated from the new tower now. On fiber, on the fiber optic ring of the Kenosha County. I have to ask, what was the specific question about the lights?
Well,
lights on the tower?
If you look out here, you have a white strobe for during the day and a red strobe at night. You have the old tower, which has a white strobe and a red strobe. And I noticed that during a storm this year, the white strobe came on in the middle of the night when the red strobe went out. But the new tower has no white strobe.
Correct. And it predates me, but I do know that with the new tower, it has to do with visibility for aircraft with the airport, and with the red and white painting of it, it meets the FAA criteria for not needing a white strobe at night. It does require a red strobe at night. The old tower didn't meet that criteria, and this tower here doesn't meet that criteria, but the new one did. So yes, it's true that there is no white strobe, but it meets the criteria for daytime visibility through the painting. The landscaping, the idea was we wanted to wait till everybody with their trucks and everything was done coming in and out of there with all the equipment, all the radio equipment, things like that. So they did get this. They did get the driveway done or the sidewalk done, and that's what that pile of concrete is. Was the old sidewalk, and there is some more in there. In fact, I just got off the phone with the contractor to take care of that this week because it's supposed to be taken care of last week. So that is legitimate.
My concern was the approach. You got big boulders.
Correct.
Yeah, you got, you know, bicycles, people on bicycles going up and down that approach are not going to be safe.
Correct. The big boulders were a requirement of the city, and the entire path, the entire drive all the way up was big boulders originally. That's a requirement of the city during construction, because big trucks end up getting a lot of mud, and they wanted to shake that mud off the trucks before it got on the road. Because of the big cranes we had to come in and out, we actually had to layer that with the gravel, the topsoil. We actually have to turn the apron into concrete and the entire drive to asphalt. We wanted to wait till we got all the trucks and stuff out of there, but it is definitely on the radar, and now that we're at that point, we can get it done.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome.
So then, go on with your report.
So all of the radios were transferred over, so there are no radios operating from the old tower anymore. They're all in the new tower. They've all been tested. And they're working well. It's working off the fiber optic ring. Previously, that tower was connected to downtown through a microwave dish, which a very highly reliable system. But the idea with this tower, it's as far as all the towers in the county go, it's pretty critical. So we were able to cut this over to fiber optic, which is the first tower that's being run that way. So we're giving it a two-week period where to monitor any signals and any glitches. We already were beforehand, but just to ensure things going well. Actually, this week, we are going to realign the microwave dishes between the PSB and the new 60th Street Tower, with the PSB being kind of the central hub with dispatch. So then that system will be tested, make sure that there's no loss of signals or anything. So then that tower will be able to be redundant. If we have a failure with fiber, we can go to microwave or vice versa. So it's the only tower that has that capability so far. So we've really made a big improvement on our reliability as far as that link in the structure. So that is happening. Actually, they were down this week. They moved the microwave equipment over to the new tower. And then on Wednesday, they're going to make all the connections and align the microwave dishes.
Very good.
I think redundancy is good. Pleased to see that that's a part of the whole scenario. When we talk about these tower loads, we always hear about capacity. Downtown campus has a certain amount of capacity. Do we have a built-in extra reserve capacity on this new tower? Can you comment upon that?
We do. We do. There is some built-in reserve capacity. Part of that, the 4.9 system was put on there for the wireless in the county. There is some more reserve capacity. I'd have to get back to you exactly how much there is, but they did design it with the future in mind.
Thank you.
And the building, the tower, the building has room in the racks and everything for future expansion.
And the old tower, is there a timeline on what's going to happen with that?
Yeah, we want to get it done before winter time, but we had to make sure that the backup plan was if for some reason it didn't work with the fiber, things like that, that we could take the radios right back to the old tower that was lined up and running. There's a lot of gremlins with radios and things like that. So, but yes, before the winter time.
Thank you.
Mike?
Is the fiber ring going to be the primary and then the microwave backup?
That's an excellent question. They both have their strengths and a few little weaknesses. And actually, I called a committee meeting. There's a Joint Communications Committee meeting with all of the major stakeholders for Thursday, after we get everything with the microwave aligned and hooked up, for them to make the decision, which should be primary, which should be secondary.
Thanks, Fred.
We'll move on to the KCDC HVAC controls project. This one haven't had much movement on it. There's two more units to cut over, but those two units, it wasn't known at the time, but they're hooked in the smoke alarm system, oddly enough. So we've got to get the smoke alarm people together with the people that do the controls changeover. We've had a tough time scheduling that, so it's kind of an odd thing, but to be safe and controls people don't want to take responsibility for doing something that might interfere with the fire alarm system. Again, they're just trying to change over the VAV boxes. We tried with and Mike can speak more to it, with hiring an HVAC tech, but it didn't work out in the end. So they're trying themselves to convert these boxes over, and they've done the best job they can, just our maintenance people. Any questions? questions? Yule House. Carol couldn't make it, but she sent this report, which I just quickly cut and pasted in here for the committee.
Okay, where's that pasted?
Oh, I inserted it right in the report.
Okay.
So. The one you just gave me?
Yeah.
Right underneath the pool.
I
gotcha. Okay.
Any questions I can bring back to Carolina?
Good news.
Okay. KCAB restoration project, on schedule, on budget. I talked before last week, the mortar week on the north side, we're 90% complete, but we brought the workers to the south and east sides. That was a critical path to get that all done. So they're working on that. The waterproofing excavation for the drain tile is complete on the west side. On the north side, it is two-thirds complete. The only place that we're leaving for the end is the evaporative cooler back there, the one that squeals the Queen Mary, as it's called. And that we really can't take offline until late September, October. So we're all the way around there. They'll start the waterproofing and put in the drain tile. And the stonework, the actual limestone work on the east and south sides is going very well.
It is, yeah.
Can you tell a difference dryness-wise in the basement from the new tile that has been put in, or is it normally dry out during the summer?
You know what? We have hit some groundwater way down, and the boiler room is actually a couple feet lower than the rest of the building, so we did hit some groundwater down there. And we excavated the west side, and back in the northwest corner, they were getting quite a bit of dampness and water back there, and the register of diseases down there, they had dehumidifier going all the time, and so, but also a big thing was on the east side, we actually found where there was, if you watch the old movies or you know, the cities where they had big steel doors that open up on the sidewalk and they would, you know, have an elevator go down. They didn't seal that up completely when they did the remodel back in the 90s, and it left an area exposed and behind drywall, and that's how a lot of water was getting in. Also, they had an old telephone cable that was coming out right in the area where the Register of Deeds office was, and that wasn't completely sealed, so some water was getting in there. So as we're going around, we're finding all these things, and we're making sure that it's sealed and done right. So we are finding areas that definitely needed it. Any other questions?
Nothing else, right?
No.
Gary, we will move on to you.
Yeah, just a few updates.
My facilities help.
Oh, okay.
Just a couple projects to report on at the different buildings. I wasn't here for the last meeting, so it's a little longer than normal, but more things have closed out. We'll be here next meeting. Starting at Brookside, there's three projects. One is a sprinkler pipe replacement. That one has been completed as of the first. A hallway can light replacement project. There's no change there. We're still searching for fixtures for competitive bidding. Cafe renovation that turned out really, really nice. Finished also on the first. That's it for Brookside. Public safety building. We've got a sewer pipe replacement project that goes block by block. Just completed a phase of G&H on 721. Courthouse, we got a fire alarm panel that has to be replaced because it's obsolete. We can't get parts. We're writing a spec so we can get it out. Detention center projects, a big project to replace heavy sliding detention doors. We got a bid that was awarded to Stronghold. We got $40,000 to do six doors this year. And we're going to start that on 915. It takes about a day to do one door, so it's a little over a week project or so. Countywide projects, as Frank was alluding to, the HVAC position is open again. We had somebody in there and he stayed for about a week and a half and then he left. kind of a position in turmoil. We're not really sure what to do. I talked to the exec about it, and he said, you know, let's post it again in the paper. We started getting the signatures on the sheet to move that forward, and it's kind of stalled right now with, I think, finance. Yeah, I was holding it for a while. I've got two custodial positions that are open. We just made an offer to the full-time position, so that should be filled, I'm guessing, within 2 to 3 weeks. And then we have a part-time position open at Brookside that I have to talk to Bob about. He's kind of sitting on it, but Fran's getting a little impatient, so I gotta check on that. Then the last thing is the Kemper Shoreline project that Public Works is really doing. It's not necessarily just facilities, but what we're doing is just straightening out the concrete rubble, kind of leveling it out the best we can roughly, and then we're topping it with H12-inch riprap. So we've got 200 tons of riprap in, and it's almost all disposed and placed as of tomorrow it will be, and then we'll do some seeding and show the exec and see if we can move forward with more.
So. Great. So we're doing that, a lot of it is where the pier came up?
No, it's actually, we started on the north side. Jim wanted to do the whole shoreline for Kemper. I guess my goal is to get up to the north temporary gate where the pier, north end of the pier was, go from there.
So for this year, we're done?
Well, the 200 ton is only gonna go so far.
Right.
And then Jim wants to look at it, and if it looks good to him, he'll approve more funds, and then we'll go further as time allows. But it's a project that'll keep going until it's done.
Oh, sure.
Over time.
Yeah. Is that through the county, or is that contract?
All in-house. Yep, highway is doing some stuff.
Parks, so we use the crews there to
we're
set
using,
them?
Yeah, we're using the golf course crew on Tuesdays and Thursdays for a little while. All is slow and getting what we can done.
So we got to do it?
Yep.
Anything else? Okay, Gary, now we'll do you.
Just curious.
Other question.
<Go ahead>. just curious, on your HVAC, did the guy say why he left, or?
He had the reputation of being a job hopper from the beginning. When the position was first posted almost 2 years ago, he was one that interviewed, and Ron Henning, who was here before me, had labeled in his notes that he was a job hopper, and he didn't offer it to him. In our desperation, he called back and said, you know, I'm interested in the job because we upped the wage scale. And we re-interviewed him and said, yeah, okay, let's see what it's going to be, but the risk is going to be job hopper again. We saw that right away, and he was working at Rudd or Cree Lighting in the scene. He wanted to get back into HVAC. I think he put his feelers out there, and we were the first one to say yeah, and I think we were a temporary one until he got a good feel, and then he moved on to a position in Milwaukee.
Good.
So 1 week. You spent more time interviewing.
It's frustrating. It really
is.
Especially when we work so hard to bump the wage up. And the problem is we're competing with the trades, you know, and they have such a good pension, and their wage scale and benefits are so good.
Right.
It's really hard to get somebody with the commercial experience. You can get any kind of residential guy for that kind of money, but a commercial guy's got to work in the commercial field a minimum of 10 years to know what he's doing to help us. Otherwise, there's no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, maybe we won't find it, but we're going to keep trying until we
Mike, you had a question?
No, it was along those same lines.
Okay.
So it's that discussion with you, and not to get person, but kind of reviewing, hey, maybe we need to offer more for one, just a little space.
Yeah, we're not. We already did that. And,
okay.
You know, this person who just quit came to us before we actually advertised it in the paper. And the discussion after he left was, well, let's get it in the paper, you know, for the first time with the new wage and see if we get any hits. So the paperwork started, and I thought it would have been in the paper last weekend or this weekend, but personnel has said that it's installed by a signature, so.
The only other question I had was, and you may have covered this a couple of meetings ago, and it had to do with the doors at the detention center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there were seven of them. Are those new, or are we replacing?
No, those are original equipment, and they're real, real heavy, heavy doors, and they have motors and gears that slide them open, slide them back with controls that go to the control center, and everything just wore out.
Oh, okay.
And just, There's actually 22 of them.
Okay.
And the 40,000 just covers six of them this year, and then it runs out, and we budget for the rest next year. But the goal is to just keep moving and get them done once we have the money.
Good. Okay, Gary, now we'll try it.
Is your question?
No.
Okay.
Well, after a slow start in the month of June with the weather, we're pretty much back on track with all of our projects. We've been resurfacing county trunk highways. Last 2 weeks or so, we've been working out on Highway F between Bassett and Silver Lake. And while we were paving that road, we were prepping out at Brightondale, and as soon as we got done with F, we started paving the cart paths at Brightondale. I think we have about half of the blue course done now, and I would anticipate probably late next week, we should have all of the cart path paving at Brightondale done. So then as soon as that's done, we'll move back on to the county trunks. We've got about half of the roads paved already, so we're in good shape. We'll definitely get all that accomplished by the end of the year. We are required this year to do our biannual bridge inspections. Federal and state government require every bridge in the county to be inspected once every 2 years. This is the year we do it. So we hired Foth Engineering to complete those inspections. They'll be done in the month of August and some in September. We have 39 bridges in the county, so those will all be completed in the next 2 months. And then just finally, we're actually starting to get ready for winter, getting supplies in. Salt bids have come in, a little bit higher than last year, about 15% increase in cost for the salt for the next season. And we have 11,400 tons that we're going to be purchasing for the season. Which is a little bit more than we normally would at this point in time, just because our shed is pretty empty from last year. So, we're taking bids on plow blades and starting to work on some of the equipment. So it's not too soon.
I saw snow blowers out yesterday at the hardware and engineering.
Wow.
Yeah, there's snow blowers out.
Let's jump in the
car. Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Andy.
Can we have a completion of a segment of County A on paving this particular season?
We have already completed two segments of Highway A, yes.
I drove that, and looking at it, I didn't notice any provision at all for a bicycle on the one side of the fog line. Am I incorrect in that assumption, or how did that play out?
There's criteria we follow for paved shoulders and bicycle accommodations, and the first criteria is traffic volume, and if it's not over about, I think it's 12, threshold is 12,500 vehicles per day for a paved shoulder, and the same for any additional amenities for bicycles. Well, the traffic volume on Highway A is about 400 cars a day, so it's well under any threshold needed, even for bicycle accommodations. Now, basically, a bicycle can travel safely on a road without paved shoulders when the traffic volumes are that low.
So. Oh, that's the assumption.
Right. Yeah.
Because in working with the bicycle committee, that was identified as one of the main east-west corridors on the north side of Kenosha County.
Correct.
And it just would have been, so it wasn't a situation with right-of-way acquisition or not having enough space, it was just based on traffic volume.
Correct. Yeah, and there's that's across the board throughout the county. Any highway that's on the bicycle plan that is under that certain threshold of traffic volume, there's no paved shoulders, there's nothing other than bike route sign.
I was not aware of that. I just thought if it was on the, well, not even on the bike lane, but just on the county's repavement project, automatically some type of bike provision would be added. I'm surprised to hear that, because that's news to me. I have to admit a bit of disappointment in that area that it's not done, but I guess I have the same explanation.
Yeah, and that's not just an internal policy for Kenosha County. That's a recommendation by the Bike Federation, and it's incorporated right into the comprehensive bike plan. So we're following the plan accordingly, and it just doesn't justify the additional cost involved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Highway up is beautiful, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, the crew's been doing
nothing
great.
Spills anymore in the truck.
You're talking to me.
John?
All right, Brittle Nature Center. Just the same day as our last meeting over at the Brittle Nature Center, the secretary forwarded me some minutes and financials, but it's all from May and April. I know they switched secretaries, so I think they're trying to play catch up here. The one, the previous one moved away to California, so it's everything's kind of dragging. McKinney Park, the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust. Oh, I'm sorry, I had nothing on the Katie Master Plan. The Ozaukee Washington Land Trust has contracted with Applied Ecological Services to do the 8 acres of phragmites around the lake and eradicate it. That'll be a 2-year process. Make-A-Wish Foundation car show went well. We had 130 cars that registered. We probably had another 40 or 50 who just come and don't want to register and just attend it, park in line and do that. So it's quite a few vehicles there. The Fall Wheel Ride, which is coming up on October 4th, I partnered up with the Kenosha Running Company, and we're going to hold a 6.5 mile trail run at the same time and a 2.5 mile walk run for folks. But these are trails, they're not like typical road races, so it'll be something new and should be kind of fun. They do, I know nothing about races, but they take care of all that, the timing and everything else. So I attached the Fall Fun Fest flyer for the Pringle Nature Center. That's September 20th. The current project list, the Kemper Center parking lot and 66th Street. Again, we're still waiting to get through August here and be able to start in September. Not so much because of the permits right now, but because of Kemper's schedule. The Braytondale lift station replacement, we did have one bidder, and the bid is lower than the budgeted amount, so that was good. That probably will not start until March of 2015, the project. If we wouldn't have changed and put an addendum in, when we kind of asked contractors if they were interested, everybody said they were full up. They said, if we have to do it this year, we're not gonna bid it. So we changed it to a May completion date, and then we did get one bidder. The Kemper Pier is removed. The sections of legs standing out in the lake are about 4 foot tall. When Oaks comes back to do the parking lot, they're contracted to do the demolition and the grinding on the parking lot and everything. They'll remove those legs at the same time. And at that time as well, there's the riprap will go in above the ordinary high water mark, kind of in that horseshoe-shaped area behind the pier. So that'll be done at the same time. The Box River storage building roof, I'm still waiting for the bid specs from the consultant to get that done. The Emerald Ash Borer tree removal. To date, we've probably cut down about 50 trees between Fox River and Petfrank Springs, with ones that are dropping limbs on roads, parking lots, buildings. The Carolinial did send a signed contract to him. He had an issue with the first contract because the insurance language in it was written more towards the actual contractor that would be doing the work, where he's basically a consultant writing the bid specs and helping with the selection of loggers to remove the trees. So Jim Olson and Carol worked together and got that changed and signed a contract from our end and sent it to him. And I know she did today, I saw an email from her today to the consultant again, but there was no response that I know of. So I'm still waiting there. The two houses at Petrifying Springs Park, the Highway Division is going to be there, from what it sounds like, probably next week, if everything goes well on their side, to bust up the floors with their breaker point on their crews there and knock the walls in so we can fill those in. Silver Lake Disc Golf Course, the at-risk youth crew did a lot of raking and the root removal and small brush work over at Silver Lake, as well as on the mountain bike trails, and some of the parks crew. We expect to have the front nine of that golf course open by Labor Day. We're, Ron Shield from the Highway Department's going to go out and GPS the holes and everything tomorrow, so we can put a scorecard together and get that done. Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trail, that's still moving along. I don't think the mosquitoes are any less out there, but they're out there hammering away yet. Nothing on the Ho-Chunk property. I still haven't heard from the Nation. The Bristol Town Hall, there's been some movement there. The town of Bristol did say, send in a resolution saying that although they gave it to Kenosha County, they have no problem with Kenosha County if it chooses turning the old town hall over to this nonprofit group that wants to maintain and restore it. And that group is the ones that run the senior center on Highway C. In fact, they had the mover come again today and look at the building. And that's all I know, except that there's 13 spots in between there and the senior center that they're going to have to take wires down to move it.
Yeah.
I went and counted it just to see. So it's not going to be as easy as they think.
They do it right with them. I've done that. I mean, the power company works right along with you.
Yeah.
Where do they want to move it to? Down there by
the senior center. There's, if you look, it looks like on the west, on the west side of that property, they have a pretty big lot.
Okay.
I suspect that's where it's going to go.
John, the Kemper Center, the 66th Street and the paving for the parking lot. How do they coordinate that with, I see in the report it says, and you, or you said, you know, with their schedule at Kemper, they have a certain time that they don't want that torn up and...
Yeah, they have, their heaviest season for events is August and September.
Right.
They're heaviest.
Right.
That's why we tried to do it in June, but then the permit malfunction happened, because June and into July would have been the ideal months to do it, and we couldn't get it, make it happen. So
probably October.
It's going to be September and October, probably pretty close to the first of November by the time that's ramped up.
Well, when are they going to start it?
About mid-September. If there's a couple, they might be able to start the parking lot, but we can't do the Anderson that early.
Right.
So, or 66th Street.
And that's our contracted Oaks, right? All contracted to Oaks?
Well, it's Payne and Dolan's the general, and Oaks is the sub.
Okay.
The parking lot we're talking about is the parking on the east and south.
Yeah. And then there'll all be storm sewer will go in, because what's there is just inadequate.
Don't let them start until after the 6th of September.
Pardon?
Don't let them start it until after the 6th of September. I have to go to a wedding there the 6th. And I really don't want people saying what a crappy looking location. So.
Okay, I won't let them.
When you said September, I thought, oh, gee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Circle on your chest.
Exactly. Well, it's my wedding.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, how many ash trees do they plan to remove this year?
If the contractor, if we can get the loggers in, I'd just say all of them, but it's probably going to be close to 2,500. maybe a few more.
Wasn't there like 4,000 marked on the map or something?
I can't.
Wasn't there like 4,000 on the map?
There is, but a lot of them are in the wooded areas, and if they're not by a trail, we're going to let them just drop.
We're going to let them nature take care of them.
I mean, if they choose to take them if they have some kind of value in them, I'll sure let them. But if they're not within, you know, something that's going to be public, a hazard to the public,
right,
I'll just leave them for the woodpeckers. So.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, John. And if no one has anything else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, second by Supervisor Skoliski to adjourn. You the governance, are you in favor? Okay, all those in favor of the committee?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all very much.
So quiet in church.
I do see that.
Thank you.